grandkids. Welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 271, or at least I think that's the correct number. I am Kevin. With me tonight is Shahid. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Just subbing in for the big boys and hope I don't embarrass anybody.
Oh, well, I'm glad to actually be doing a regular show this week. That's kind of nice. We slacked off on that last week, and this week, nothing more has really happened in the wrestling world, as we were discussing ahead of this show, honestly. Because I asked you what stories there were, and you're like, nothing?
More or less, it's that good old, you know, dead season before WrestleMania.
That's definitely been a topic that's come up with Jeremy and I recently. Was I for some reason I'd actually forgotten about the lull after WrestleMania, because they were doing a pretty solid job up until about a month and a half ago now.
I mean, it's always kind of accepted, because I think the last, I know at least 4 or 5 years, it's always been, they have SummerSlam, something big happens there on SummerSlam, and then it's kind of like, you know, lull up until right before the Royal Rumble, unless they have some big angle going. And especially this year, you know, with Brock Lesnar being champ, and he's not even going to be on the next pay-per-view, it's kind of like, we got to kill time until the Royal Rumble and try to figure out exactly, you know, what they want to do next, because plans keep changing due to injury and, you know, lack of talent, more or less.
Yeah, well, and that was another topic, and the injury thing, just that comment made me think about Roman Reigns, who was another guy that you brought up ahead of time. And explain to me the people again that you're talking about, thinking that Dean Ambrose is kind of the crazy guy and he's not the company guy.
Yeah, it's this whole, and I've been hearing from people that, you know, like level-headed wrestling fan, but I guess the last 2 weeks of Dean Ambrose were getting pushed. It's this whole narrative that, you know, Dean Ambrose has that it factor. He should be the one that's in the main event because he can electrify the crowd. And he's like, you know, Brian Pillman / Roddy Piper / Steve Austin. He's not a company guy to get pushed down your throat like Roman Reigns. But who knows if Vince is going to listen. That whole, you know, they're pushing the guy that we like instead of one that should be pushed. And I already wrote an article about that a while ago. I already knew this was going to happen, but it's hilarious. I'm like, if this guy is in the main event with John Cena, he's getting all this camera time. He's a company guy. It's wrestling. He's not running out there. He didn't, you know, beat up somebody backstage, put on a mask and say, I'm going to pretend to be this guy and then get a spot. They put him there because they know something's there. So he's getting pushed. He's getting pushed because Roman Reigns was hurt. Roman Reigns got pushed because Daniel Bryan was hurt. And that's how that started in the first place. It's like, you know, we like you until they like you. Then once they like you, we can't like you anymore. That whole indie crap. I can't like you because you're popular.
I don't even know how you get that logic, because even if you take out those injuries, I don't see any reason not to be. I mean, why would Daniel Bryan be taking on Randy Orton again? You know, I would have thought that he still would have been tied up with Roman Reigns after, especially with the angle that they ran with the Shield breaking up. You know, there is no reason for Bryan to go back to him. So you build Roman Reigns the same way. And the only reason that Dean Ambrose didn't get that much TV time was because they took him off for a month to film a movie.
Exactly.
I mean, how can you say that the guy isn't a company guy when he's off filming a movie for them?
Because it's the whole, he's not 6'5". He doesn't have a 10-pack, you know. He's got a funny, you know, funny-looking face. he wrestles in jeans. Like, I always joke, he dresses like an R&B singer. He has on a tight hoodie and a wife beater tight jeans. He's wrestling. He wrestles a kind of wild style. And it's that whole CM Punk thing. And I always laughed about that whole thing. Like, oh, CM Punk is getting pushed in spite of that. I'm like, all that mic time he got, all the DVDs he got, the fact that he always got TV time, he was injured. It was obviously that Vince McMahon liked CM Punk. So all of this, he got pushed just because nonsense was nonsense. It sounded nice, but it was always nonsense. And then it's the same thing with Dean Ambrose. It's like, oh, they really don't want to push him, but they're going to push him. No, if they didn't want to push him, he'd be like Dolph Ziggler. He wouldn't push him.
Yeah. That is extremely true. You can certainly be in Dolph's spot for quite a number of years. Ask Christian about it. You can ask any... I'm trying to think of a couple of other
examples.
Oh, Kofi Kingston really has been in the same spot for Lord only knows how long at this point.
It's like almost his entire career. Like I say, I call him the Tito Santana of our generation. Like, he just has that mid-card spot, and he's just going to be there until he retires. God bless him. Keep getting those checks.
Yeah, I mean, if you're that good... Hey, I'm sure that's a pretty decent looking check. I don't understand. Like, I think Ambrose would have been pushed, again, whether I think he's getting more of a push because Roman Reigns is hurt and because Daniel Bryan's hurt. But again, like, it made sense for him to be in a feud with Seth Rollins too, which I mean, they had featured The Shield for a year and a half before this. So it's not like they didn't have faith in any of these guys. I mean, they had faith in all of them. So, that's mind-blowing to even have that that mindset, to be honest with you.
Yeah, like, what it got me is when it started, all I heard was, Dean Ambrose is going to be the breakout star. He's going to be the next Roddy Piper. He used to get all the mic time with The Shield. Seth Rollins got some lines. It's kind of like he was the worker that needed to work on his mic skills. And Roman Reigns is just he's just there. And Roman Reigns, I've had this conversation with you and Jeremy and I don't know who else. Roman Reigns got pushed because people like us started to like him and notice him and chant his name. That happened organically. It wasn't it started off with Roman Reigns. It's kind of like we went from Dean Ambrose to Roman Reigns. And it just kind of happened gradually. But then all of a sudden, keep in mind that Royal Rumble with him and Batista, they were the last two there. Roman Reigns got us, the diesel push, and nobody had a problem with it. It's like, I can see you a year from now, WrestleMania 31 being the main event if he has time. I feel on that. Sometimes people get pushed, they're not supposed to because the fans push it, and it's despite Vince McMahon's best wishes. But 9 times out of 10, if somebody's in a spot and they're getting TV time consistently, it's because they're supposed to. And from Jump Street, all three of them were seen to be, important. They were made as a big deal, and it was organic. So I have no issues with Dean Ambrose being a push. I'm a fan of Dean Ambrose. But please stop this whole thing. Like, he just hijacked the script, and Vince McMahon really doesn't want to push him. And Triple H thinks he's, he's a C-plus player on a B-minus show, and they're just trying to, waste time stuff. Like, cut that narrative out.
Yeah, I completely agree. That's just ridiculous. The guy, like I said, the guy's been featured now for a solid 2 years, except for being in a movie, which I'm pretty sure at least goes to people that they think are marketable. I mean, I don't think that it's all that prestigious, but Cena has been in a movie. Like, you have to do him. Like, if you get to that level, you're gonna have to do that every now and again.
Either they think you're marketable, or they think you have a telegenic face. And Dean Ambrose has something. I didn't think he would be a natural baby face. But it's something there. And he's definitely marketable. You know, he's got crazy charisma.
That he certainly does. It seemed like they had him tone it down there at the end of the Shield, so I was wondering what happened, but letting him expand on the persona has helped him immensely.
Yeah, but I just can't imagine people say, I would love to see him in the main event at WrestleMania. When you had those WrestleMania posters, you got Brock Lesnar, you know, looking like a monster in the ring, and he had Dean Ambrose show up with like jeans and the white feeder. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, it's you know, like they say, it's organic. It's WrestleMania,
right?
You know, he's showing up like he just came from the bar. I don't know how you market. I mean, I guess, but that just seemed like, I don't know how you kind of market that to the mainstream.
Yeah, you know, the look has grown on me. I thought that it was pretty piss poor when I first saw it. But it seems to be working okay, so I guess I'm willing to see how far it goes. But I definitely agree with you. Like, it doesn't seem like a very marketable look.
But having said that, keep in mind who we've had be the franchise of WWE for the past decade. It was John Cena. He dresses like he dresses like an 8-year-old kid. Like, always calling him Shazam, the real life version. Like, you know, an 8-year-old kid that turned into a big Superman with superpowers. That's John Cena, because he's had just ridiculous color shirts. Like, right now, him dressed like, you know, the Fireball version of Super Mario each week is hilarious.
Oh, that description is outstanding.
Like black cargo shorts. He's done jean shorts, military shorts. So I'm like, and that's been out of style for like 8 years. He does it with no problem. And he's the world champ. So if he did that, I guess Dean Ambrose doesn't look that ridiculous, all things considering.
Yeah, and I need to sign into Stunt Granny's Twitter account, because Bully Ray had something really funny to say there about, because I think last night was the last time, or the first time, that he wore the military style shorts, at least. And Bully Ray goes, first it was raising three fingers in the air, now it's a black and white camo shorts. Think I need to have a chat with at John Cena. LOL. I got a kick out of that last night.
Yeah, I think I remember so much following that. I got to laugh at that too. Because it's just amazing to me. It's kind of like, you know, get used to it. But you just, I'm just imagining somebody never watched wrestling before, or they haven't watched in like the 80s and 90s. And they just see John Cena, like, what do they think? Like, this big, overgrown, muscled up wolf with, you know, a 5X bright shirt. And, you know, cargo shorts and sneakers, just wrestling clumsily. Like, this is our star, and he earned that spot. It's kind of like, I don't want to sound like that old get off my lawn guy. Like, back in my day when Stone Cold was doing this, but it's kind of hard to do that when I see John Cena. But that's a story for another day. So I can't really get on deep. You know, Dean Ambrose kind of looks funny wrestling like every match is a street fight. But at least he's consistent with it, so.
Oh. I hope it'll evolve at some point, but we'll see. Who knows? Like you said, John Cena's kept that look for a long time. I don't quite get it. I think all three of those guys, honestly, from the Shield could use some type of more of a makeover. I know Seth Rollins went to the bodysuit. I'm not sure I'm digging that. I mean, the guy is ripped, so if you wanna, I guess. But
and yeah, it's kind of like, I keep thinking it's like 300. Like, he comes out with the grease. The hair bothers me more than the outfit. Like, the outfit reminds me of a video game. Because because of just his body type, but he's in shape, so that's fine.
Right.
But that multicolored hair, I know it works as a heel. That just rubs me the wrong way so much. Like, get that crap off your hair. Like, just pick one color and be done with it. I know it stands out, and they always say, you know, you don't want to be a cookie cutter. You don't want to be some guy that's 6'3" with douchebag tattoos on your arms and regular tights with, like, frosted tips. So stand out and be known. That hair makes him stand out, and it works with him being a heel, but it definitely gets on my nerves. And maybe that's the point.
Yeah, I've kind of gotten numb to it. I used to be really annoyed by it, but because he had that in ROH even, didn't he?
Probably. I think it was more pronounced when he was, like, young, like in NXT, than since he's been on the shield. Like, it's there, but I don't think it's kind of, if it makes sense, mainstream multicolored. If that makes any sense whatsoever.
Right. I think so.
So, and Roman Reigns is kind of like, you know, he's the only one that's still wearing a shield outfit. He's has the disadvantage of being Samoan, so he has to kind of deal with that more or less. body type wise.
Oh, that's just yeah, I just the fact that they haven't made him do the haka dance yet is, you know, is a feat that not any Samoan has achieved quite yet.
I think he's kind of like at the point like where you overcome your heritage is there, but they don't make a big deal. Like the Usos, you know, they started off just being regular guys, and it's kind of like, no, you're gonna be Samoan, and you're gonna embrace it, and it worked. Roman Reigns is almost like, you know, he's Samoan, but they don't push. Like, he's not doing Samoan headbutts. Of course, he does a Samoan drop because every Samoan wrestler has to do a Samoan drop. But they don't make it out to be like he's the Samoan wrestler. They just make him out to be he's Roman Reigns. So.
Right.
Which is, you know, a benefit because you don't want to be, you know, hamstrung by your, you know, your heritage and your family. Because it's kind of like you only can go so far as being that guy. And it kind of, I guess, leads to the next point. Like Rusev, they finally let him talk a little bit.
Oh, yeah. That was really nice to hear. I think that he delivered his lines well. Like, I'm not, I guess I never saw him on NXT to know if he ever talked or not on the show. Excuse me. So I wasn't sure how he would even really sound because you only hear him kind of yelling gibberish at ringside when he gets pissed off.
Yeah, I think before he's cut like words, like English words, like, you know, domination, intimidation, like, you know, like he was driving more or less. It was just surprising to hear him talk. Like the lines were hilarious because it sounded like somebody would make a threat, but English was not their first language. It's like, I'm going to. What do you say? I'm going to kick you in the groin. I'm going to reach. Like, it was very, you know, direct. There was no sympathy whatsoever. Reach down your throat and pull out your lungs. I've never heard somebody say, I'm going to kick you in the groin. Just straightforward. I've seen people do it. I've never heard someone say it, and I just laugh because it's like, if it's his character, just hilarious.
Oh, that's just, I mean, I liked it last night, but maybe I didn't know some of the subtext to why, but that's kind of hilarious. Like, I mean, that's kind of dead on why it was really blunt, and it wasn't like someone speaking English would say it. So, yeah, I guess that worked on a couple of levels.
Face, I'm gonna knock you smooth the hell out. Like, that sounds like something, like, you know, somehow would say is a threat, like a, you know, a natural threat.
Oh.
And someone like Bischoff has credibility. And I like how they built the storyline, kind of like he felt bad because he pushed Mark Henry into doing that. He put all the pressure on Mark Henry, like, you know, you're not just representing you, you're representing America. And 300, like, however the pop, 350 million people got your back. And then, you know, Mark Henry gets clobbered, more or less. But Big Show, like, you know, I feel it's my fault. I'm going to get payback for you because we're friends. And that whole, you know, they started that main event. Then, yeah, went to SmackDown, had the match. It was a competitive match. And then actually seeing Rusev get laid out. And then he actually sold it on Raw because he was coming out. He rubbed his jaw like every, you know, 15, 30 seconds.
Right. Yeah, I actually, I jammed that match in right before I watched Raw. And it was a pretty solid match. I was pretty surprised. And when I was talking to Jeremy earlier today, the one thing that just kills me with Rusev is just the gimmick in and of itself is just really holding me back from being more into this guy, I think, because the two times he's had to wrestle were against Jack Swagger and against Big Show on SmackDown there. Like, a Mark Henry match, it just takes on a different quality. Big Show still moves pretty well for his size. So it's always a surprisingly athletic encounter with him.
Yeah, I first noticed that when him and Big E had their matches. Like, Big E is definitely athletic for his size, and Rusev kept up with him. And that was kind of like, you know, seeing two big guys as athletic, just, you know, Jeremy say, like, having a Godzilla match is always entertainment they can move. And again, when Mark Henry's like, he's past that, you know, he'll hit you, but he's not going to chase you.
I don't know if age is any factor with the Mark Henry, which is, you know, fine.
Let's just say he has a lot of city mileage, if that makes sense.
Well, he does have that, but even in his sexual chocolate days, I did not think of him as overly mobile.
He was surprisingly mobile on SmackDown when he was, like, a little bit lighter. Like, you know, he'll bust a move out every now and then. I think now with, you know, this age and knee injuries and groin injuries, it's kind of like, you know, I'm at the, you got to make movement for me part of my career. So, but gotcha. Big Show has definitely always had surprising athleticism. And you never feel like, you know, you feel like Rusev can hold his own with him. But it's not like he'll dominate Big Show. It's not like a Brock Lesnar type thing. And have him, you know, Lana can cut the promos just fine. And of course, when he was going for the flag, I'm like, I can't wait to hear their positive next day. As soon as he started looking at the flag, the first thing I thought, I can't wait for WWE to say we didn't mean to offend Russia by having Big Show pull down the flag. Because if the roles were reversed and somehow pulled out the American flag like that, I can just imagine the complaints people would have made. You know, that whole righteous indignation. How dare you pull down the flag? I bled for it, blah, blah, blah. And then, so, Russia's heels, but it's still kind of, you know. So I remember when Jericho got in trouble in Brazil for that.
Well, yeah, and that was the first, that was one of the things that Jeremy and I were talking about. I was like, come on, Jericho got in trouble for this. Like, they're actually going to do this on TV? Like, I was a little surprised that they had that happen at all, to be honest with you. I was like, huh? So, I don't care. I wouldn't care if it was the American flag. Just because people just put too much, well, yeah, you called it righteous indignation. Yeah, like, they just put too much stock into it. you know, the other people are trying to get that reaction out of you. If there's actually malice in that, which I don't think there is with the Big Show, like, true malice, you know, they're going to do something far more extreme than pull down a flag.
Yeah. Like, it's not like he stepped on the flag, or he didn't do the whole Shawn Michaels blow his nose on the flag, or the hump behind.
Hump like the flag.
Stuff. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, like I said, like I told you when I first started watching the network, if you anything from like 96 to like I guess whenever PG era kicked in, what, 2008, 2009, it was horrible. It was like, you know, people, for all the complaints they say, it's too soft and like that. Some things I did not miss because it was vulgar as can be, and they couldn't get away with it like today. And as one of, like, just thinking about that, oh, you remember the time when Shawn Michaels was humping the flag and blew his nose on it, and we just said nonchalant. Just imagine if that happened last night on Raw. Twitter and all that, social media and everything.
Well, they would get a lot of Twitter mentions. They might be happy about that.
Let's say any publicity is good publicity. Unless it messes with the sponsors, and then it's like, oh, we got to fire somebody because we didn't mean it.
Oh, yeah, that can happen too. Oh, yeah, that's
ask Finley about that. So he lost his job for the whole interrupt. Was America the Beautiful or something like that during the house show? And like the National Guard got pissed. It was something he interrupted when like Miz was champion, and
Finley
got fired over it.
Oh, so, yeah. I did not remember that story.
It was something involved. Somebody, like Miz or somebody, came and interrupted it and like cut a promo, and you know, like the national, somebody got pissed off.
Right.
To fall for it.
People don't mind taking the fall sometimes.
Well, you get a job, like I say, you know, seeing the new Stooges, Jamie Noble, and Joey Mercury.
Yeah.
That's just hilarious just watching that, because just thinking, you know, like Jamie Noble tried to sue, he tried to get like sue for health insurance from getting an infection from a steroid shot or something like that. And yeah, it was something along those lines why he got let go by WWE the first time. And all the stuff Joey Murphy went through with, you know, drug issues and stuff, just seeing them as like, you know, the new Patterson and Briscoe. It's just hilarious on so many levels. Like, there's always a second chance in wrestling.
Oh, yes, there is. And I don't know if they're at Patterson and Briscoe levels quite yet.
Yeah, but time, you know, Patterson and Briscoe wasn't Patterson and Briscoe when they first started. It's kind of, you know, it's gradually there, and it's kind of like the Morton on TV. It's, I don't know.
Well, I mean, do you think that they're going to use them that way then?
I can see them doing that, because it's kind of like they, you know, drop little hints here and there, like, I need to be just going to be doing something, do something. Like, the whole dynamic with the whole authority is just hilarious, especially with Randy Orton, because he went from the whole open around, I'm like, in my time, to kind of like, you know, the class prick. Like, I know I'm better than Seth Rollins. I got to keep cleaning up his mess. Me and Kane has to keep, you know, clean up his mess. And he's wrestling like a heel, but he's celebrating like a baby face. And the crowd's getting behind. And I've noticed that, and Jeremy said that, and I've said it. Like, if he was an asshole baby face, that would be perfect for him. Because he's got enough cash where he can wrestle good enough for that. He had enough respect from the fans where he could pull that off. And it's kind of like, you know, they want to cheer for him. But he's not doing the whole, you know, smile and stuff. It's almost like he's doing, you know, fake pandering.
Yeah, he's really good at that. And I mean, I just remember how many people, well, I shouldn't say how many people, but I do know at least a few people that randomly watched that were really annoyed when he got turned heel most. Because I'm trying to remember how long he's been heel for now. But they liked him as the, because he always was kind of an asshole baby face.
Oh, I loved him when he was the SmackDown champion, because it was kind of like, you know, he gave opponents credit. It's always like, you know, I know you're, you know, like, I'm not going to sleep on you. I know if I sleep on you, you'll beat me. And it's going to be a tough match, but I know I'm better than you. And you're not going to sucker me, you know, stuff like that. Whole, he gave Christian credibility. He didn't just, you know, run roughshod on him. Like, he was a good baby face. You know, he didn't want to be. And then by the time, you know, he got accepted as a baby face, they turned him heel again. And it's kind of like, you know, I know they say he's a natural heel, but it's almost the point where let him be himself. Like, if the fans want to cheer him, let him be a dickhead and let the fans cheer him.
We
need that again.
Well, and there's one thing that that it just needs to happen to help him do that. It's somewhat major, too, because last night, it just really irritated me that Kane and Orton, I think, would be better off not in the Authority, at least from, because as long as Stephanie is bossing them around and Triple H are bossing them around, they always just look, even though they have the pedigree to be higher than that, it always knocks them down a peg or two to me. And I just felt like it was just like, like, you know, I feel like Orton's kind of getting some credibility back, and then all of a sudden they have something else with him looking like a bitch to the Authority, and it's just like, okay, guys, you're not helping him out at all.
He's overqualified to be a sidekick or a lackey. Like, you know, he shouldn't be the guy that's kind of, you know, watching Seth Rollins back and taking crap from Stephanie McMahon. Kane is kind of like, you know, God bless Kane for still being in shape after all that time and wrestling in dress pants like he's a Punisher villain. But I've had enough of Kane, and no offense to Kane. Randy Orton, he doesn't, like you said, he doesn't need to be in that spot. He's better than that. You know? And it doesn't do Seth Rollins any favors. It's kind of like, you know, they're trying to push Seth Rollins to be, you know, credible. But it's always been like the last couple weeks, it's like Randy Orton's had to save him. And then brag about saving him. And then Steph kind of like knocking him down. So it's like you're knocking down both Randy Orton and Seth Rollins.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I kind of forgot about that part. At least the Seth Rollins part of that domino effect. Although I guess that does make him more hateable since he's kind of the bottom of the order there. Because he, you know, if he's subservient to the other subservients, it's just like, ah, oh, what a dickhead he is, and he's in such a privileged position. If they want Orton to be something more than he is at the current moment, they really need to get him away from that. Like you said, Kane can stick around and be a lackey. A high price lackey, but lackey nonetheless. And Orton could go be a babyface. I mean, they really do have enough people gone at this point that it would be useful to have a more important Randy Orton somewhere. Like, even if they keep him heel, to have him be more important than he is right now would really help.
Yeah, they can't really afford to just, you know, waste people right now. It's not like their roster that deep. Like, and I just think about how they treated Bray Wyatt, and I wonder, like, I guess other people wonder, like, those promos yesterday, it's kind of like, you know, is Luke Harper going to do his own thing now? Like, what was that about?
Yeah, I'm willing to let that one play out at least, but it did sound like Harper's going to be on his own. But I hope he doesn't lose the, like, losing the gimmick would be really strange to me.
Yeah. I mean, he's somebody else that, and like I said, Jeremy's been carrying the flag for him. And I definitely see, like, he definitely has something. Like, you know, he's extremely athletic for his size. He's a very good wrestler. You know, it's kind of hard to notice that because he looks like a bomb. But just see, no, like, where this swamp guy learned to do, you know, planches and stuff like that. But, you know, he's a great big man. He's got presence. He can talk on the mic. You know, like, he may not be on Bray Wyatt's the level, but he won't embarrass himself on the mic. Like, he can cut a promo and be just fine. So, I'm like, if they're going to push him, we'll power to him, because he deserves better than getting squashed by John Cena to kind of prove a point that John Cena's back. Like, it's almost like they're at all of them kind of spot, like, they don't know what to do with them. Like, you thought Luke Harper and Rome was going to go for the tag team titles, but instead they went with the Dust Brothers. Bray Wyatt's kind of like, you know, he's in limbo.
Well, I'm fine with the Dust Brothers, but I think more of Harper and Rowan's problem was that they were trying to establish the Usos, because I think they had just gotten the belts when they really started feuding, and it's like, and they had finally had a tag team division, and it was like, you're taking your biggest or your best villains right now and putting them into a feud where you're trying to establish the belts again. Because they had been gone for who knows how long, really. Well, at least in theory, they were gone. I'm sure someone was carrying them. But, you know, the Usos needed to keep the belt at that time. And I agree with the decision to keep it on them, but it hurt Harper and Rowan as much as it helped the tag team belts.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, but it's kind of like a necessary evil. Like, you know, if you want to establish the Usos, you have to have them be semi-important. And it was definitely important. It was kind of like, I thought it was going to go the whole time. Like, they beat them initially, and then eventually they trade the belts. Then all of a sudden, just seeing Goldust and Cody Rhodes turn heel, out of the blue, like I said, they're entertaining. It's creepy as can be. Like, I give the utmost credit to Cody Rhodes. Like, when he takes a gimmick, he embraces that damn gimmick. Whether it's a mustache, or if he's trying to play Dr. Doom, or, you know, like, he definitely probably took theater class in college. I can just tell, because he hams it up and he embraces it. Goldust is Goldust.
Yeah, Cody Rhodes has had almost as many gimmicks as Kane. And that's a compliment. The guy really has been able to run for it. I'm not sure if this one has any more. Well, considering that Goldust is around, it might have more mileage than everything else that he did. So that'll be kind of interesting to see if he can make this one ride out longer than Mustache Boys, Rhodes Scholar, Dashing.
The Dashing ones with Drew McIntyre, or, you know, Ugly Cody Rhodes. That was kind of the hilarious one. He was doing his Dr. Doom impression. He's seeing Rey Mysterio. Like, you know, you've ruined my life and my beautiful face and all of that. So, like I said, I give Cody Rhodes all the credit in the world, because they obviously want to push him. They keep trying to find ways of pushing him. He's always going to have disadvantages for his, like, he's small and he's a good wrestler, but he's not good enough to overcome being small in, like, WWE land.
Right.
But he's got something, you know, and they know he has something. And he's gung, you know, he doesn't sulk and, like, I'm not doing a stupid gimmick. He'll run with the gimmick. He'll do it as best as he can. And that, like Sandow is learning now, that will, for all the complaints we have, embrace it. You'll be on TV, you'll keep getting those checks, and you never know. You never know when things may turn.
Well, I can definitely see things turning for Sandow, just because of the whole size reason there at some juncture. It'd be kind of interesting to see him shaved, actually. Just to see if it works at all.
I remember him before he was Sandow, and I cannot believe that was the same guy. His old gimmick, like in when I'm thinking it's the same one, but it was him and the other guy with the tag team with Michelle McCool.
Oh, I didn't realize he was one of those guys.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm trying. I hope I'm not misquoting, but let me see. I'm about to look it up. I definitely remember him. Idol Stevens. Exactly. So.
Yes.
If you go on Wikipedia, you can see him with no beard and a short cut. And it's like, is this the same guy? Because I had no idea when I saw Damon Sandow. And I was like, oh, that used to be such and such.
Okay, I've wow, he looks like a homeless man's Dave Bautista.
He's only 32, so how about that? He's been around since a while. We always talk about all those, you know. They need to push the young people. Those young people aren't so young anymore, you know. Like, most of those people, like, late 20s, early 30s, it's not like, you know, that Kofi case is not, you know, an up-and-coming blue chipper anymore.
I honestly don't think of Sandow as being around as long as Kofi Kingston.
Yeah, because you haven't, like, seen him on TV, but as far as, like, you know, wrestling-wise...
Oh,
he was on SmackDown like 2006. You know, that was 8 years ago, and now he just came back. Yeah.
Oh my lord!
It's like I had contact with Jeremy all the time. Like, we don't think about long times. Like, oh, I remember from 2005. I'm like, yeah, 2005 was 9 years ago. Nine years is a long time. The Rock didn't wrestle for 9 years on WWE for his first run. So that's to tell you how long 9 years is.
Holy shit, okay, and I am completely wrong, since he started at the same time. Kofi Kingston started in 2006 also. So he hasn't been around longer.
The difference is, you've seen Kofi Kingston that whole time, you know, like, Sandow left, they came back, you know, five years later, so.
Oh, yeah, because Kofi was only in developmental for a year. So he Sandow had a trip back to the Independence, and that is a huge difference.
So it's like the same talk of why, you know, why people feel the same way about Randy Orton. Like, for as good as Stone Cold and The Rock was, if they wrestled every week for 10 years and never got injured and never took a break, we get sick of them too. People got sick of The Rock, and The Rock is The Rock. You know, they kind of like, so that's to tell you, you know, that's kind of like the Mount Rushmore wrestlers, kind of like, you know, it's the same old stuff, and he's just making movies, change it up. And that's The Rock. So imagine what, you know, like, somebody like The Miz has to go through. You know, like, it does. You just have, you know, you see the same people over and over again. It's kind of like, you know, and I give credit for, like, they get Miz to change his gimmick and other people change their gimmicks. It's like, there's only so many changes you can make after a while. Like, I don't care what they, like, The Miz is a perfect example. They can put glasses on them and have them dressed like Zoolander. It's still The Miz. I've seen The Miz for a long time. Like, you know, you can put rims on a Pinto that doesn't turn into a Ferrari. Still a Pinto. Sorry, man. You know, enjoy your beautiful wife. Enjoy the fact that you main event at WrestleMania with the title, as CM Punk did. You can always brag about that. And I have no issue with The Miz's gimmick right now. It's The Miz. I've seen it for a long time. I can say that about a lot of people on the roster. I've seen this thing. I've seen Dolph Ziggler almost be somebody for, what, 8-9 years? You know, I remember some Royal Rumble main event he had with Edge. That was, what, 2007? 2008? That's for the title? Yeah. You just think about that. They were saying, oh, his time is coming. He's an up-and-comer. And that was 6-7 years ago.
Oh, wow. Spirit Squad 05. Wow. And back in 09. So, yeah. Because, well, and I do forget that he got to school the last year that I was there. So, I mean, he wasn't, well, I mean, because I just saw him being 34. I forgot that he was actually wrestling for Kent State the last year that I was in school. So, yeah, he isn't exactly a spring chicken, because I know I'm not a spring chicken anymore. That's become abundantly clear. So,
yeah, it always, I guess, wraps it up. It always lasts when people talk about they don't want the same old people that came out, Brock Lesnar. And I'm like, Brock Lesnar is around the same age, if not younger, than John Cena. So, oh. Like Brock Lesnar, yeah, it's like Brock Lesnar is a young man. He started young, he didn't wrestle that long, and it seemed like he'd been around forever. But when you start in your early 20s, and, you know, you take a 7-8 year break, it's kind of like,
Well, and with him, it certainly helped that he made as big an impact as anyone did during that time period, too.
Yeah.
Because it is kind of funny that, because he was the tail end of the Attitude Era.
Yeah, he came right after, basically right after WrestleMania, was it 17 or 18? Like, right after that. Like, right after the Attitude Era, like, they always say, like, WrestleMania 17 was kind of like the end of the Attitude Era. And it was, like, post-Attitude Era. Like, he came, if it was either after that or next WrestleMania.
02 to 04.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was almost gone for an entire decade.
Mm-hmm. And I always say, like, Brock Lesnar is, like, the perfect, if somebody could design a professional wrestler, it'd be Brock Lesnar. Like, I've always been a fan of Brock Lesnar. It helps kind of like he has that credibility, so he proved it outside the ring. But the problem's been, and it's always been with him, it's hard. If it's a one-on-one match, I can never see him losing against anybody besides Kurt Angle, because he was booked that way. Like even before he left and went to UFC, he rarely lost clean. Like, he beat everybody. Like, for like the people that, I guess, what, Guerrero won with interference, Big Show won with interference. So, you know, Kurt Angle beat him clean, and Goldberg beat him clean. And that's about it. So, like, everybody else is kind of like interference or DQ or some nonsense. And that was before he became UFC heavyweight champion. So he comes back now, I'm like, you know, I can't see CM Punk beating him. You know, I know they talk about, you know, Daniel Bryan makes the comeback from surgery. He works his way up the ladder, have him beat Brock Lesnar for the title. I'm like, come on now. I know the story sounds like my story, but he's almost 100 pounds bigger than Daniel Bryan. And Daniel Bryan's coming off, you know, Tommy John and neck surgery. I don't want him accidentally killing Daniel Bryan with a German suplex. Like, like, I get the story in this wrestling, but Brock Lesnar's always been the outlier when it comes to that, because it's kind of like he's always been booked better than everybody, and they booked him that way. Like, you know, he destroyed John Cena at SummerSlam for all that talk, you know. Like, I've never seen a title match that one-sided that lasted that long, ever. Like, period. It wasn't like he did that with, you know, like, he didn't do that with some transitional champion. Like some regular guy. It wasn't like, you know, Kofi Kingston had the belt to hold the belt more. He did that at Kofi King. That's John Cena. And he just dominated John Cena. Like, I haven't, closest I've seen, and people brought it up, it wasn't even that close, when Sting wrestled Vader at Great American Bash way back in like 91, 92. But even Sting put up some offense, and it was kind of like you could see Sting maybe winning.
Right.
Like, when Lesnar fought Cena, it was like, it's the way they book it. Everything Cena does, Brock's better. Like, Cena has no advantages. which is why it irked me that whole, I know why they had to finish for the pay-per-view, and it wouldn't have bothered as much if they were going to end it at Hell in a Cell, but if Brock's not going to be there, then that was just a waste.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, it does give... it does give him something to complain about and something to pout about, and a reason to skip Hell in a Cell. Which I thought, honestly, Paul Heyman was going to toss out there on Raw this week, but he did not.
Yeah, I think they just don't want to put too much attention to that, because people want to ask, like, Brock Lesnar, shouldn't he be pissed at what happened at the pay-per-view? Well, on the other hand, it's like, you know, at the end of the day, he stood tall at the end. He still has the belt. He doesn't have to show up. Like, he can just, you know, chill with Sable, drink a Coors Light, and he, you know, muskmelon for all I care. So, I guess, I don't know, it's just weird just thinking like Hell in a Cell is going to be a transitional pay-per-view when everybody kind of made out like it's going to be a blow-off with the feud with him and John Cena. And I was thinking if they booked it that way, to give Cena out, like, you know, Cena could have won if it wasn't for Seth Rollins. So have a definitive match there. It's like, instead, they're going to do whatever. And that's fine.
Well, they'll have something at the much bigger named Survivor Series now.
So, yeah. That is my stage. Yeah, Survivor Series.
Yep.
That's a stay for another day. how the mighty have fallen, is how I call Survivor Series. Like, their main events have been weird because it just seemed to be setups for WrestleMania, setups for our pay per view. Like, I remember when The Rock and John Cena was a tag team as the main event, like The Miz and R-Truth. And I was like, this is just, what's the point? Like, I know that I knew the point. It was like, it was good to see The Rock wrestle and anything like that. But this is kind of like, and it's been too many times but they've had pay-per-views where Survivor Series too many times been like, you know, we might do one match where we have the traditional Survivor Series and we'll push them by, like last year was, you know, Roman Reigns beat four people by himself. And that was kind of like, that was the continued push with that. That's what I remember from that pay-per-view. And so, I mean, this year, I guess you're going to have a title match and it's kind of, it'll help when people start coming back. That's the biggest thing. So I guess by then, you know, you get an idea, like, they'll have an idea when Roman Reigns will be back. Hopefully they have an idea when Daniel Bryan will be back. And maybe they can stop chanting CM Punk at AJ. But I doubt that'll happen. I got into it with Kylie about that whole Daniel Bryan yes chant. I don't know if you was watching, just following that feed on Twitter.
Yes, he involves Stunt Granny, so I wasn't following it. I think I woke up and just saw this giant list of tweets, and that was kind of, oh, actually I was kind of waiting for him to write it, because I was definitely in your camp more than his camp.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, to a certain extent, I get where it comes from. I used to make fun of people chanting yes when it had no context. It was kind of ruining the show. I remember Batista talked about that in the podcast. Like, they weren't really doing Daniel Bryan favors. But it's kind of like, you know, come on. If he didn't have a chant, he wouldn't be over. You can say that about anybody that can be low. You know, if CM Punk didn't cut pipe bomb promos, would he be CM Punk? Make some CM Punk. You know, and it's not like they were chanting yes because Alicia Fox was out there. Yeah, I know they were doing it with Brie Bella, and that's, you know, that's his wife. I'm like, yes, that's his wife. They know that's his wife. They brought up Daniel Bryan. It fits. It's the same way when AJ comes out and they chant CM Punk because people know they're married. Like, you can't, you know, I know you try to put it in disclaimer, that's a hell of a disclaimer. I know that's his wife, but still.
Yeah.
Reason a little too much.
Well, and it is kind of funny to me that it went from, isn't that great, this chance happening at Michigan State, and the Pirates started doing it this year, and I know that now the goalie for the Crew, the soccer team here in town, he does it after every win with the big fan, with the crazy fans in the one end, the Nordeca. So it's just like, it's gone from being great that it's everywhere to now, because it's being done, it's bad because he's not there.
Can't, like I say, the wrestling fans can't enjoy having nice things.
Well,
it's always been like that. It's like, oh, it's not him, it's the champ. Like, let Daniel Bryan, like I say, I saw that man. We were at WrestleMania Live. I saw him beat Triple H clean. I saw him make Batista tap out clean, basically beating him and Randy Orton in the same night. I was there to Raw after, just like you. I heard that. We can argue, like, how over he is. He's over. He's a star. People want him back. He's the reason why he's one of the reasons why Batista left early. So let's, we don't have to nitpick on the percentage of how over he is, and is it him or the beard, or is it him with a champ? Like, you have all of it. I don't have to pick and choose. Let me enjoy.
Yeah,
it's the problem we have, and it's not just him, it's everybody. Like, you know, we can't enjoy people. It's always got to be, oh, I can't enjoy Dean Ambrose. I got to enjoy Dean Ambrose and make fun of Roman Reigns. Like, why? Why can't I like both of them? Why has to be expensive? Oh, look at Dean Ambrose getting pushed. He's not like that bum Roman Reigns that's getting over pushed. Because 2 months from now, who's to say by Royal Rumble time, we're not talking about Dean Ambrose that way? He's getting pushed down our throats, and it's, oh, if Michael Cole says the lunatic fringe one more time, I'm going to throw up. I can easily hear that conversation happening. You say, I can't wait till
Reigns
comes back.
I could have that conversation right now, I think. Michael Cole saying anything, I'm pretty sure I've had it. I don't care what's coming out of his mouth. Oh.
Start to see it. Like, it's kind of like, you know, they embrace him, so they have the Lunatic Friends t-shirt. It's all the thing, you know, control. You know, it's all the stupid catchphrase, like with Kofi Kingston, control frenzy. If it's frenzy, it's not control. It's called being sloppy. But, you know, whatever. You got to have some catchphrase, you know. I can't wait to hear vintage Dean Ambrose when he does that little flipping the ropes and that clothesline. So.
I'm still pissed that thing isn't named. I don't get it. It's like
they're
one of his.
Trying to figure out what to name it.
Huh?
They're probably trying to figure out what to name it. Like, I remember first seeing it. I thought the first time I saw it, I thought it was a botch. It just looked so out of the ordinary. Like, what in the world is he doing? It just looked so out of the ordinary and just looked ridiculous. But then it's fun, and it grew on me. It's kind of like, you know, it's something else to make them stand out, like everything else.
Yeah, I guess I just automatically thought of Nigel McGuinness, since that was probably the main time period that I watched ROH until recent. Well, good Lord. I can't believe that it's probably been 2+ years now that I've started to watch ROH again.
Hey, well, like I said, that's like me and TNA. So I started giving TNA a chance again. And I was kind of like, who are these people and why are they baby faces and heels? It's kind of like, I don't have any expectations, so I just watch and enjoy it. And like I said, they have nice eye candy. But they have too many people wrestling in dress clothes. I don't, if I see Sam Shaw throw a dropkick with some tight slacks one more time, I'm done. Enough.
Well, if they could just make up their damn mind what they want to do with that character in the first place, it would really, really help. Hey, he's crazy. Hey, he's not crazy. Oh, no. We decided to make him crazy again.
Yeah, like, am I supposed to pass sympathy for a stalker? Because that's how the whole thing started. You know, to, like, mentally abusing Christy Emmy. And that's kind of like, oh, he's redeemed, even though he looks crazy, because Gunner said so. Because Gunner was a Marine, and is Gunner a babyface? Is he a tweener? You know, it's too many people where you're not sure. Because it's kind of like, you know, Gunner sees good in him, and he's kind of likable. Ken Anderson thinks he's a jerk, but Ken Anderson's a babyface too. It's, yeah. Too many shades. Shades of gray is good to a certain extent. When everybody shades of gray, it's like you're about to rain. Sometimes you need to see some sunlight.
Yeah, to me the problem is that people think that they can do the gray better than they really can do the gray. Like, it's just a tough character to get right. It's easier to just go all good or all bad, because it kind of just, it makes your focus a lot easier. So, yeah, I just think those characters really hard, but... And yeah, they're still not doing a very good job, honestly, with a lot of people. ROH was where it started, and I actually, for the most part, I'm okay with it, aside from whatever weirdness is surrounding Michael Elgin.
Because yeah, what's the deal with that? Is it an issue, like, is he signed or not signed, or what's going on with that? So I've been reading. Some of your stuff about that, like, I don't really watch RH anymore, but I keep hearing about how the Michael Elgin situation is kind of like off.
Well, the small excuse that I saw about him wanting to try out for baseball and mentioning it in an interview, and that's the reason you strip the guy of the title without talking to him.
Are you serious?
That was the main like, it sounds like there's some other stuff, but they weren't too specific about it, honestly. And, I mean, I thought it was a bad timing on his part to speak about that, but it's also no reason to chuck a guy that, and I wish I hadn't lost that article in the transfer of the site, but they spent years building him up, and then to just like get rid of him. I mean, I don't know what he, like, I'm having a hard time figuring out what he did to piss off that many people that quickly, because they finally gave him the title win over Adam Cole, who everyone was loving, so there was no reason to get rid of him. It's really weird, like, unless he did something really dickish, but no one's really saying that. So, he's back, well, and I did, that was one of the few stories I read before we started, is that he was allowed back in the United States. That was part of the problem. Dummy didn't have his visa straight to work in the United States, which is always a brilliant plan.
It's amazing how many times that happened, like, oh, I'll get to it when I get to it.
Yeah, I mean, the only sport that I see it in, I know that sometimes the dumb Canadian trades happen in the NHL, and they've got to get some paperwork together, but because they usually work in the U.S. part-time, they have something pretty much ready. Baseball always seems to have that problem, but they have spring training, you know? It's just like, it's the problem's always in spring training for whatever reason. So, whatever, like, it's kind of a non-issue. Like, it's always an issue. Like, you're champ, why were you not allowed in the country? You know, like, you need to have your shit together, like, especially when the majority of your dates are in the country.
Well, like I say, you know, Paul Heyman is an icon in wrestling, and the problem is people picked up some of his good traits, and they also picked up some of his bad habits. And I've heard that happen at ECW plenty of times, and it's kind of like, nobody learned a lesson when that happened in the 90s. It's 2014, and it's still happening. Like, yeah, fix your travel arrangements. It's not that hard.
No, it really isn't, especially when you're, you know, hey, we're going to push you. I mean, it's not like one of those things like, hey, we're going to give you the title belt, like, out of the blue. Like, it sounds like they yanked it from him out of the blue, but, you know, he had to have known it was coming. So, why would you dick around with your paperwork? Like, it makes no sense. And I mean, if that's, and again, like, as dumb of a reason is that is for ROH to strip him of the title, like, I can't think that that's actually the reason, though, because they went, I mean, they were dumb enough to have the guy crown champion after this long, like, 2 year drawn out process of him being the champ. And then they didn't put him on TV for 5 weeks. That's just painful. Like, you can't do that. Not nowadays. It's
Well, they did it, so I guess you can do it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can do it. It's just gonna make you look really bad. That's all. Like, and that's one of those things where they don't, their production never looks any better, and it doesn't deserve to look better when they start pulling shit like this. Like, and I don't even, I don't know who's really to blame in the whole situation, but it just looks you, makes you look bad.
Well,
You
like we
know,
always say,
altogether, no matter who you are.
they didn't earn that. ROH is the worst article by you from by accident. They put a lot of effort into that.
Okie dokie. Well, we have put a minimal effort into this into this podcast, and I've actually got to go plug in my computer, so I've already had my sippy time beer for the night. I'll let you do a sign off.
For Kevin, I'm Shaheen. Please don't be like ROH and fix your visas, and we are out.